Hi, this is Matthew Gattozzi from the future. Before you jump into this awesome podcast episode, I want you to know that some things have changed around here since this episode was published. The show was called How to Build an Audience, and now it's called How to Market Your D2C Brand. The setup is the same, but we now have more of a focus on who we are talking with and what we are actually talking about. So if you're confused, hopefully that clears it up. Lastly, we also changed our company name from Gattozzi Collective to Gudo Studios. A lot of rebranding has happened since season one of the podcast, but thanks so much for supporting us as we grow and change. Enjoy this podcast episode, and don't forget to subscribe to the show so you can listen to the new episodes coming out soon. Okay, thanks. Enjoy. Hey, if you love our show, How to Build an Audience, please consider giving it a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to this podcast. We are trying to help as many entrepreneurs, business owners, and creatives as possible through this podcast. And in order to build our audience, we need your help. A rating and review on Apple Podcasts bring more exposure to our show. Don't wait. I know you will say to yourself that you will do it later, but head over to Apple Podcasts now and drop a quick review. Thank you in advance. Now, let's get to the show.
And my parents, I remember telling them, like sitting them down and being like, I do not want to go to dental school. They're like, okay, that's fine. Like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to be a blogger. I want to be like a personal trainer. And they were like, okay, like you want to, what? You don't want to go be a doctor, but you want to go like write on the internet. Like, that's funny.
Welcome to How to Build an Audience. We interview the top creatives, marketers, and communicators to help you become an expert at building an audience so you can grow your influence, increase sales, and effectively share your story. This show is brought to you by Gattozzi Collective. Hello, and welcome to the second episode of How to Build an Audience. I am your host, Matthew Gattozzi. Today, I'm talking with Sydney Tarabi, or as many people know her on Instagram as Spin City. She is an Under Armour athlete, a health and wellness blogger, and the co-founder of Restart CBD. Sydney's passions for fitness and health started when she was young. Sydney grew up playing sports and swam for the University of Texas Austin during her freshman year. While at college, she started her fitness blog and invested in the Austin wellness scene. Upon graduating, Sydney became a certified nutritionist and personal trainer. Sydney's blog started to take off, and she had become a leader in the Austin wellness community. I met Sydney via Instagram through some mutual friends and was immediately drawn to her positive energy with her health. She has always been honest and transparent about her journey, which has helped build a devoted community around her work. During quarantine, Sydney started 6:30 a.m. workouts every single day for people without gyms. I admittedly only got to one, but I love her passion for sharing health with others. Beyond workouts, she is busy building a cannabis empire in a very conservative state while juggling brand deals with Under Armour and MyFitnessPal. In this episode, we cover Sydney's path of starting her blog and getting her first followers. We talk about how her passion for fitness changed her career from dentist to personal trainer and nutritionist. We talk about how mentors have helped guide her brand and businesses. Sydney tells us how she got brand deals with Under Armour and MyFitnessPal. And we talk about how getting in cannabis has affected her personal brand and her audience. I would love to hear what you think as you're listening to the podcast. So please reach out to me, Matthew Gattozzi, on LinkedIn or Twitter, and we can talk there. Now, let's talk to Sydney.
I was in college at the time, you were correct. I was a collegiate athlete for a year, year and a half. And after that, was studying nutrition, was getting more in tune with what I enjoyed doing as far as working out wise, because I still loved fitness, but I just didn't know that aspect of my life just yet. And a couple years after I'd stopped swimming, Shada, my sister, actually was traveling for work. She started her blog about 6 years ago and was like, hey, Sydney, like, you really like fitness. You go to these classes. Like, why don't you start a blog and start writing about it? for me, my first thought was, no, I'm not going to do that. I've been always been someone who's very much to myself and very introverted, and to put my life on the internet like that was just not something I wanted to do. I had a super negative connotation, which is people who started blogs just wanted to talk about themselves, and I was not into it. And she was like, no, I think that you can just put your own riff on it. I think you'd really like it. You know, just start it. And if you don't like it, just stop doing it. You don't need to continue it. So I was like, okay, Shada, you've convinced me. Here we go. Let me start this journey. And I got my Instagram account. I had my website. I got my website because my family was very much like, no, you need to have a website with your Instagram because you need to direct people. I'm not a tech mind. I didn't think of it that way. I didn't think of it as a business. I thought of it as more of a fun outlet, especially trying to get involved. And really just started posting about 4 or 5 years ago, really religiously, about my journey from being a collegiate athlete and getting told essentially what to do for the past 8 years of my life, how to work out, to this riff of, okay, I used to be able to eat and do whatever I wanted. And now, how do I take care of my adulting body? And what does health look like to me? What is my version of that? And so Austin's a really cool city. We have a lot of boutique fitness. We have a great outdoor scene. Everyone's very active. We have a great food scene. And so I just wanted to capture that and go to group classes and just review places, almost like what ClassPass was. And just go riff on that and just write about it because I feel like I had a general insight of what you should you bring, like what's a good workout feel like to me, what do you enjoy, and just kind of started giving things my ratings, and then it quickly grew to okay, I've done like all my group classes, then now what do I do? And so I just slowly started to figure out what I truly liked and started to lean into that, and ultimately studying nutrition, being an athlete. Taking like food is thy medicine approach to things, very much health driven. I started to just talk more about my personal journey and what I was finding through my research and my studies, if you'd say, like in my classes, what I was learning. And now it's just leading to more into lifestyle, back into more workouts. I became a personal trainer from it, a nutrition coach from it. So it's just been kind of all over the place, but initially just started with a thought, an idea.
Many people start blogs or projects and never find traction. Sydney was able to find success in curating a following early on in her blogging career.
I think it was really organically in the sense that I was exposing myself to instructors and other people in my classes. And every class I would go to, I would take my photos, take videos, write a blog post about it. So not only was I like being that person in class taking photos, but also the instructors, they wanted to be recognized and known too for their work. And so I would say, hey, like I have the blog. Do you mind if I write about you? I would ask them, you know, if it's okay if I take pictures about this. And so I would have those conversations. And I think that leads into, oh, this girl wrote like a really cool review about me. And so they would tell their friends or tell their manager or whoever. And so that just slowly started to trickle into just grassroots of them just spreading the word. And then also I think like hashtags were very, very new and unknown territory. So I heard that hashtags were a thing. So I was literally hashtagging like workout studios, Austin Fitness, you know, the generic terms. And that's essentially how then you grow your like online following of how people are finding you. And Instagram's evolved so much since we've had it. Like I had Instagram my freshman year of college, and I remember looking back at my first post like a couple weeks ago and be like, oh my God, there's a frame on that. Oh God.
Yes,
Like,
like picnic editing and stuff
oh
like
my
that.
God, yes.
It's yeah, I feel you on old photos. Though I
Old
did go to the
IG.
very beginning of your photos, so I've seen it all. I went through
I
the
bet you have.
yeah. It's definitely the photography has gotten a lot better, which is, you know, that's a good thing.
Thank goodness.
So I think what's interesting about what you're saying here is the fact that it was just real people seeing you were meeting people, and I think in some ways it was helpful that you were going to literally every single studio, because that eventually it's a numbers game. Austin's such a small city that eventually, you know, the fitness community is small enough where if you've been to every studio, they at least know your face, they know your name, and then eventually you're going to, like, you're using their networks. You know, they're probably sharing your post or even excited that you're posting about them. So you've become this authority just by handshaking these people, meeting them. And I think that that is something that people kind of forget about. Just networking and being social on social media is pretty important.
Yeah. And like, reach out. I was that person that was like emailing. I would go on their Instagram or go to their website and email the studio, say, hey, I'm a blogger. I literally had like 100, 200 followers maybe when I was just reaching out to them. I'm like, hey, like, I'm this blogger. Like, I want to write about you. Can I do that? And more often than not, people want you to like write good things about them. So they're going to respond saying, of course you can come to my workout class. And I was a broke college kid, so I tried to always get them for free as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, save 30 bucks. Whatever worked there. Oh my gosh. 30 bucks was the whole week of lunch, man. But yeah, so it's just about like reaching out, being active, emailing them. And then just ultimately, like you said, like Austin is already a pretty small city. I mean, there's a lot of people that live here. It's grown a lot since even the past 6 years, but even then you get into the fitness side of things and the wellness side of things, and it's just so much smaller, and all the instructors know each other, different group classes, you know, people going to them. It's crazy.
Sydney originally planned to go into dentistry after undergrad, but through her experiences of blogging and immersing herself in the wellness industry, her path changed forever.
And I started to realize that, oh, like, people make money off of blogging. Like, that's an interesting concept. Like, I could turn this hobby into a reality and like a business. Like, okay. And so I had started to get like somewhat more of a following. I think I hit my first like 1K and I was like, I've made it. This is it.
That's when you know. Take the jump.
That's when you know. Yeah, take the jump. Oh my gosh. And my parents, I remember telling them, like sitting them down, being like, I do not want to go to dental school. They're like, okay, that's fine. Like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to be a blogger. I want to be like a personal trainer. And they were like, okay, like, you want to, what? You don't want to go be a doctor, but you want to go like write on the internet. Like, that's funny. But like, I joke about it, but like, my parents are so supportive of me and my sisters and our dreams. They always say, if you are not happy, do something that you're passionate about. I think they, a lot of parents in a lot in that like time period, you do a job to do a job. And there really wasn't an option. People have been in companies for 20, 30 plus years. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's an amazing work ethic. And I think there's great companies you can work for. But I think now the millennial side of things, it's like, no, I can be my own boss. I can do what I want and get paid. I can, you know, make my own hours. I can hustle. And that's how things go. And so I had that millennial hat on and I was like, no, I'm going to make it work, parents. You watch me. And so they were like, okay, we'll give it a couple of years. You can always go back to dental. You can always go take that test. So we'll let you follow this for as long as you want. And that's when I officially like took the leap and started to take my blogging a little bit more seriously and started to look into becoming a trainer, becoming a certified personal trainer, taking my nutrition aspect and becoming a nutritionist and a coach, and just tried to follow that path as best as I could and started working at different studios in town.
After the break, Sydney tells us how she started to build her business as a nutritionist and trainer while continuing to build her personal brand. This podcast is presented by Gatozi Collective. We are a marketing agency in Austin, Texas that teaches entrepreneurs how to create content and market their businesses. We can do the marketing for you or teach you how to do it yourself. Are you confused about where or how you need to market your business or side hustle? We have a free course that will clarify your marketing strategy in 5 days that you can sign up online at our website, GatoziCollective.com. Now, let's get back to the show. Upon graduation, Sydney knew she had a passion for the wellness industry, but she was still trying to figure out who she wanted to be in the industry. The person you see online today was not the same person when she graduated.
The reason behind my name, Spin City, is when I was starting my blog, I also was obsessed with indoor cycling. I was obsessed with it. And there was this place really close on campus. They closed down now, RIP. But I started going there because it was close on campus and they were hiring like front desk people. And I was like, oh, this is a way for me to get free classes. Again, I'm a college student. It was a way for me to be in fitness. I was like, this is literally the dream. Awesome. And then after I think maybe 6 months of just doing front desk there and having my blog on the side, I was like, let's become an instructor. They were having auditions. I had been spinning for a long time. I had gotten pretty good. And so they were holding auditions, and I was like, let me just instruct and see if I can even be a trainer for them or a cycle instructor. And so I passed, I went through training, I became an instructor, and that ultimately led me to I just loved spinning. That was like my whole MO. Spin City was now like my title, and I loved it. And then from there I realized, oh, my body is doing one plane of motion, it's spinning. What does weight training look like? What does running look like? Do I like those things? And so I started to look at other studios in town. I had friends. If you're a trainer at one place, you're most likely a trainer at another X, Y, or Z place. And so I had friends that worked at another studio that was like a running and weightlifting place. And I was like, I like that stuff. I used to do that stuff with swimming, with dry land. Let's go try that out. And ended up really liking it for a while and stopped spinning, went into more the running weight training aspect. And then that led me into another couple friends who worked at these other studios. And then I found Athletic Outcomes. And that was the first place that I felt like my athlete self again. And again, I had always loved fitness. I liked working out, but I didn't really understand what it meant to truly like what I was doing. When people are like, oh, I love boxing, I love going on walks, I love yoga, I never had like a love like that or like a strong connection. And then I went to Athletic Outcomes. It was the most resemblance to when I was an athlete that I really resonated with. I resonated with the owners, with their training style, with their recovery aspect of things. And I was like, oh, this is kind of, it like meshes all my worlds of recovery, food, training, athleticism. This is like kind of where I want to be. And they ended up mentoring me a lot. And that's when I started to get my certified personal training, really started to hone in on leaning into my nutrition side of things. So at the time, I was just a trainer. I wasn't really talking that I had a nutrition degree, talking about it. And so it just the right people around me started to encourage me to lean into my strengths and to push me to be a little bit more vulnerable online and to like take that jump, because I think I was initially scared to take on nutrition clients because it is such a broad subject range, if you will. And so just having the right mentors, meeting the right people, again, connecting via one studio to the other. And just, I think I was like also a young kid being like, this is my life. Let's just like do anything. Let's do whatever like my heart leads me. Let's go for it. And it led me to AO, and I'm so grateful for them. And it's really like what's molded a lot of how I train and treat people.
Sydney hustled her way around town trying to find what was best for her. She did not stop until she found what worked best for her and what were the best opportunities for her career. On this journey, she has been able to gain great mentors to help build her career and personal brand.
With AO, I'm going to use them as an example as far as training goes. They very much, I mean, I've never had like a system of when to post or what to do or how to train somebody, but they very much structured me into this. I had to audition for them too and learn their style. And I just loved how they had like, they could see the end and they just showed you how to get there. And so they very much molded me in how I train and how I treat people and encouragement and how to word things properly, as far as taking everything into account. And so they just really molded my training aspect of things. But as far as social media goes, that was also led to, because no, there's no handbook like this is how to be an influencer. This is what you should post online. I mean, there's ideas, but ultimately it's your platform. It is what you do with it. And so I started to take inspiration from local bloggers, started to meet other, even people, not just not in Austin, but people in Dallas, in Houston, just through the internet, through Instagram. And I just loved their energy they were putting out. And they had been doing it for a long time. And just DM them and kind of was like, hey, like, I love what you're doing. What are your thoughts on this? And we started to become friends and they started to mentor me and help me out. And so I think that people often online get a little bit competitive, and that's totally in human nature. And I get it as an athlete. I'm so freaking competitive, but there's also a fine aspect of like growing together. And there's so much space on the internet for everyone.
As her training career and personal blog started to grow, Sydney started to get the attention of bigger brands online.
Under Armour came about maybe almost 2 years ago. And this was, I had my blog and Instagram for about 3 to 4 years. I'm like losing track of all this time, but 3 to 4 years. And had just been putting out content, again, trying to shift into more of the personal training aspect of things, putting my story out there and what made me me. And Under Armour at the time, 2 years ago, when they were trying to create their women's team roster, they were looking for, just so happened to be looking for micro influencers in the Austin area with an athletic background. Like how I fit that mold, IDK, but somehow like it all the stars aligned. And that wouldn't have happened had I not been doing this for 3 years. And again, telling my story, because people just think it happens and it doesn't just happen. You know what I mean? Like you have to hustle, you have to hustle for it, you have to work for it. And I didn't know at the time when I was being more vulnerable online that it would lead me to that. But ultimately, that's what helped is just the personality behind it. Again, who does someone resonate with? And so when Under Armour came to town, they came to town for like some fitness workout meetup and they were inviting a few different influencers. And my Instagram is much more active than my blog. My blog, I update a couple times a month if I'm lucky. Instagram, every day like clockwork. But I got an email via my blog, like contact information that usually always goes to my spam. Somehow, some way, I checked my spam that day. And I saw an email from someone on the Under Armour team, and I was like, that's interesting. Let's click it open. Boop.
After figuring out that the email was not a scam when she met a representative for Under Armour, Sydney was hooked on working with the brand.
I had really didn't know a lot about Under Armour at the time. I had worn like a few other pieces of clothing, but it was not something I was drawn towards, honestly. And then she was explaining how they were revamping the whole women's performance side of things. And what it was going to look like in the next couple of years, how I would be utilized as one of their athletes. And it kind of scared me because I'd never committed to something for 2 years like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm in a 2 year contract with them. And but ultimately I just decided that it was something I wanted to do. I loved what she was saying and the brand, and when she's explaining everything, it all just made sense to me and how they were looking for former athletes. That obviously resonated with me. And so all the stars kind of aligned. And I was like, again, like, let's take this chance. What's the worst that's gonna happen?
Yeah.
You know? And so I did that, and it's led me. I had no idea they were, meshed with MyFitnessPal. So MyFitnessPal is owned by Under Armour. It's their app. They post a lot about tracking, meals, workouts, and again, like going to the nutrition side of things, I've been able to utilize that aspect of my knowledge and studies. And really tap into that part of my life, which I didn't even think about when I was
Yes.
signing the contract. And so again, like it just kind of all started happening and it worked out. And the MyFitnessPal branch is actually in Austin. Their whole connected fitness apps, their headquarters are in Austin,
Wow.
which is part of the reason of why they were here for the workouts for that initial meeting. And so it just all happened to work out. And I've been so blessed and lucky to be a part of it because I do have friends with other brands, and I've heard good and bad stories of their
Yeah.
experiences. And with Under Armour, it's been nothing but great. They've treated me so great, so nicely. Like I'm a nobody compared to like a Steph Curry, and Steph Curry's on the roster.
Yeah.
The Rock. They do things with The Rock. Like, are you kidding me?
That's amazing.
Lindsey Vonn. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then there's me, who's just like, I'm just a girl in Austin, and they treat me just as they would a professional athlete,
Yeah.
and that just really makes me feel confident in the brand. And so it's just, again, been
That's
a
amazing.
really nice little snowball effect of putting myself out there, leaning into that as a strength, utilizing them. I've been featured like on my MyFitnessPal's page, on Under Armour's page. That not only helps them bring a face that's not a professional athlete to their clothing line, just like a girl that you can kind of relate with. But also obviously helps my brand grow and my audience grow, which is amazing.
Yeah. But I think the key thing that you said was it was the 3 years prior to it. I think people can jump onto your page and be like, oh man, this girl's like with Under Armour and like, you know, make a big deal about it and just kind of count themselves out from, you know, that being a possibility. And it's really is possible if you're willing to put in the time. Like, you were posting, you were hustling at every single like boutique shop, every like workout you can do, and you were reviewing it and you built an audience that way. But it also didn't happen just even in 1 year. It was multiple years and you really trying to figure out who you were online, you figuring out how you're going to write, how you were going to share your experiences, but you were also willing to just show the process. And not enough people are, they're like, want this finished product that, right, you know, is Under Armour ready, but you can't get there if you're not, you don't put the years and the time and the effort every single day. Right. And you've clearly shown that to build your audience. And then obviously partnerships like that, I mean, that's going to exponentially grow, you know, the potential that you can reach. In all of this, have you ever felt like any sort of burnout or just times where, you know, it's hard, like, especially when you're first starting, it's difficult. You're like 50 likes, 20 likes, honestly, like 10 likes.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
we hit double digits.
Like, even like you look at the stats of your first blog post and you're probably like a few reads and half of them were my sister, you know, like, like how is this possible? So I don't know, just, is there ever been a time where you just felt like really tired, and how have you dealt with that and staying consistent with, you know, giving to people, but also making sure that you're filling yourself up?
Yeah. I think burnout is unfortunately something that happens quite often, especially just putting yourself out there. I mean, in any aspect, like, burnout happens. With swimming, I almost quit swimming when I was in high school. I was so done with the sport. And then my coach at the time, just, I'll lean into all of it. My coach at the time was like, just take 2 weeks off. If you do not want to come back after 2 weeks, fine. That's okay. But if in 2 weeks you have any inkling of wanting to come back to the pool, I would just come back, but take your time. So I ended up taking, I think, a week and a couple of days off. And I was like itching to get back in the pool. I was like, oh my God, like, I don't know what I was thinking. I definitely still love the sport. I want to do this. And so that ultimately led me to go to the University of Texas and swim for them. Didn't even think that was a possibility. And so then it really molded me. And there's been a few times in my influencing career, I'll call it, that I definitely have just like not posted for X amount of time because I just felt like I was forcing myself on the internet.
Yeah.
And I hate that. I've never been someone to just post to post.
Yeah.
I don't need validation for likes or views. Like, it's never something that like makes me feel like, it feels good, of course, but it's not something that I'm just like defines how I'm going to be that day.
Yeah.
And so if I ever feel like a burnout, I'll just take my place off social media. Sorry to all people, but like, probably no one's gonna miss you. Like, no one's gonna notice. So I take my top, and I remember like the first time I did it, I was like, okay guys, like, I'm back. And they're no, like, one even knew I was gone. What?
The exactly store, they don't know where you're back from.
They're like, wait, you need to finish your sentence. But ultimately I think now it's like, when I express that I like, for example, with my IG live workouts, when it quarantine first happened, Corona was first starting, people had to stay at home. I was doing IG live workouts Monday through Saturday, so 6 days a week, every morning at 6:30. And it was great. I was into it. I loved it. It was like full guns a-blazing from like that night to the next morning. I just started and happened for about 6 weeks straight. And then I started and I was posting it to my Instagram, to my YouTube. I was, you know, trying to edit them for everything. And that just takes time. Not even just the hour workout. It just takes time to edit. And so then about 2 weeks ago, I was like, I'm going to dial back because I just don't want to reach a point where I just completely shut off from the internet, because I do have other, you know, matters. Like Under Armour, I have to answer to them. I have certain guidelines I need to meet for posting and, you know, talking about it. It just doesn't stop like that. I can't just quit. And so it's just knowing that you can I mean, I personally just can't go 110 miles an hour all the time. It's just not how my brain and my body operates. And so recognizing that it's okay to go guns a blazing sometimes, but know when to pull back for yourself. Like ultimately, I got a lot of DMs that were like, oh no, like we're so sad. And I responded being like, yeah, like I wish I could do this, but I just physically, like I just cannot do this. But it's ultimately to create even better content for you to digest. And so people were very understanding. I think I have a really great following that are all like, we got you, girl. Like, you're fine. Just take your time. But no, we love your workouts. And like, that makes me feel good that not only that I've built this audience of like trust and support, but they're like, if you need to take a break, like, go take a break. Like, I respect that. And I don't think every audience has it. Granted, I don't have like millions of followers, that it's a broader range, but it is people that reach out. They're like, I get it. Like, you just do you, and like, we'll be here when you want to come back, or like, if you want to do 6 days a week again. But it's just knowing when to pull back.
In 2018, Sydney and her older sister Shada, who also has a personal brand and blog in Austin, started their CBD brand, Restart CBD. I wanted to know how they leveraged their networks to build a new business in a relatively new legal industry.
Yeah, so I think Shada, myself, and my little sister Nika all have our own story of why we use CBD and why Restart. For me, it was again my athlete side of things. When I was in college, I did have a lot of friends who were using like medications prescribed to them for injuries, for better sleep, for whatever. And again, studying nutrition, I was like, I don't want to take medications. I don't want to like go into the prescribed route. And so my sister was in a car wreck. She broke her pelvis. She started to use CBD as like alternative medicine. I was not a cannabis user, so I was a little afraid of CBD 4 or 5 years ago, but I started to utilize just the CBD aspect of it for my recovery from swimming, from working out. And then I think by having myself and Shade our personal brands apart from Restart, when I introduced Restart to my brand, which was very new and weird, people were much more accepting because they trusted me, I guess, for some odd reason. But they trusted me, and I think that there's people like me who were extremely nervous because it was cannabis, to be openly talking about it and having a brand behind it that ultimately led people to be interested in this alternative medicine. And for me, that's what I want. I did have a lot of clients, nutrition, personal training clients who were on medications. They were in surgeries. They, had like whatever it was. And they started asking me about CBD. Hey, like, I know that you started talking about CBD. Like, would it be beneficial for me? Like, how do I use that? And so that opened up a conversation again to kind of like to that grassroots of me just talking to my clients. And with the Restart, I think we were able to mesh the two together. With personal and Restart, because we had been going to influencer events, restaurant openings, traveling, going to studios, and CBD started to become more of like a hot topic that we're able to, talk to our PR friends, talk to people like you, talk to just influencer friends in general, and get their insight and opinion from an outsider looking in on what they thought about CBD and like what they thought about Restart. And we're able to also just, I don't know. Austin's again like a really fun community, and just, I mean, fitness wise, but also like influencer wise, it's pretty small. But they're really close. Like, I don't know another city that you are friends with your influencer city people. I've heard horror stories from people like friends like in LA and San Fran. I mean, not to like shout out those cities, but it's just they're those cities. But they're so big too that like it's hard to be friends with all of them. And so Austin is very much like the noble capital of the world. Like, if you're mean, you're not welcomed here and it's not allowed. And I love that. It's like the really harsh, like, yeah, you're mean, but like, get out of here. But like, whatever. But I think our friends have been really supportive, and we've been able to do really cool partnerships locally with food brands and with our influencer friends. And, hone is that we've done a lot of all of our marketing, and we haven't been blessed to like not really pay for a lot of advertising. We've done a few things, but it's all been very much organic through our personal pages and then just through friends. and through restaurants to be able to collaborate together, because that's ultimately, people love supporting local, people love collaborations, and people love seeing other people succeed. So it's just really just, again, like somehow it all meshed in this beautiful little circle. Yeah.
What are some like similarities or principles that you've learned in terms of over the years of just like growing an audience and in terms of like for your personal brand and like Restart? Obviously, like you can't run ads with Restart. So there's a lot more organic, you know, handshaking, getting to know people, but that's kind of how you started your personal brand. So are there some things that you see kind of relate in terms of growing an audience around an idea? And you know, again, people want to get paid for their ideas. Like that's the dream. So you've obviously have done that in mul like different dimensions of life for yourself. So what are some similarities that people can kind of take away as for you, what you've learned in building these different audiences over different businesses and different industries?
With Restart, I think one of our biggest things was we got into it because we did have that, again, that passion for it, and we were familiar with it. And what helped us tell our story and what helped us get our foot in the door was, again, telling our personal relation to cannabis. And for Shada, she very much is a cannabis consumer in all aspects, loves it, wants to talk about it, has had been using it for a decade plus, and was open about it. And for me, I had never used it, and I was scared of it, and I didn't want anything to do with it. I thought it just made people stupid. I was that stereotype of a person that they're still out there. And so for us to be able to tell our completely, like, we call it the yin and the yang, like our stories, and put that online to our website, people come into the store. We have a retail front. People come into the store, they're like, "Oh my gosh, you're the sisters. Oh, you're the athlete sister." And they call Shada like the accident sister because we talk about her car
You're the
accident.
accident. Sorry, you weren't meant to be here.
It's like people like say that, and we're like, that's her. And so it's just interesting. And then we have a YouTube channel, and like people get to see our faces. And I think people love connecting a brand with a person. It puts that trust in it. And with the world being so social media and online driven, I think you lose touch with that. And like you can go to a lot of brands and pick certain things out, but ultimately, I resonate the most with brands that I know the owners. Like a good one is Nina Barinato. She's a local jeweler, and I love her because I see her on her Instagram. I see her making her jewelry. I love what she stands for. But like, would I have that same experience if I didn't know who she was? If she was just another jeweler in Austin? Probably not. So again, it's just like being who you are, being true. Even if you feel like you're like the biggest weirdo or dork in the world, someone out there is going to relate to it. So at least one is going to feel the exact same way. And from there, it just builds and grows. And it's going to make you less, have less of a burnout because you're just being yourself.
As we end the podcast, we will finish with a segment called Open Mic. We are going to end each episode by giving the guests a space to share about anything that is on their mind, more advice, or anything else that could be off-brand.
I want to say that it's okay to fail. It's okay to put yourself out there. For me, I don't have a huge wide range of a friend group, but I have a lot of people in my life who I trust and who I go to advice for. And so find the people who will give you the advice that maybe you don't always want to hear, but the advice that they are looking out for you. And also go to the people that are going to inspire you. And whether that's in real life, whether that's through Instagram, I've personally made an effort to just not follow people or block people that make me feel like anything lesser than what I am and what I deserve. So if you need to block those people, block them. If you need to unfollow, unfollow. But ultimately, just do you. Look at the life glass, look at life glass half full, and just try to stay positive, you know? My background on my phone's been like good vibes only for the past 3 years. And every time I look at it, I'm like, just everyone, just chill out. Have a good time. You know, there's room, there's space, there's growth. And projects that I'm working on right now, it's even to this day, I can't say I live a happy. No, I wouldn't say that. I would say, like, I wouldn't say that every single day is the best day of my life because that's just not realistic. But with projects that I'm working on, I constantly have to remind myself to not compare, but rather seek out advice of how to make it the best that I can make it.
This conversation with Sydney gave me more of an awareness of myself in the work that I do. I'm inspired to continue to chase after the things I love and the passions I have in my own life. Sydney puts on live workouts via her Instagram, and if you can't get up at 6:30 a.m., don't worry, you can sweat it out later on her YouTube channel. All of the links to find Sydney will be in the show notes. Thank you to Sydney for being on the show. If you like this show, tweet me at Matthew Gattozzi. And if you really love this show, drop a rating on Apple Podcasts or your podcast listening app, and I will talk to you next week. This podcast is presented by Gattozzi Collective. We are a marketing agency in Austin, Texas that teaches entrepreneurs how to create content and market their businesses. We can do the marketing for you or teach you how to do it yourself. Are you in need of a logo? We have a team of creatives to help you with all your marketing and design needs. You can reach out to us by emailing us at hello@gattozzicollective.com or visit us online at our website, gattozzicollective.com. We hope that you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you in the next episode.